Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's just pause and pray, shall we? Lord, you know the week that we've had. You know our joys that we want to share with people here. Lord, you know the burdens that we carried in this place that we have been walking with and bearing alone. And regardless of our joys and regardless of our burdens, regardless of where we have been and where we are going, we invite you to be with us as we reflect on your word and speak to us as a father speaks to his children. Amen. It's a real joy to be back here. It's a tremendous privilege to have to be able to come home and to be able to share our sincere gratitude for the decades of partnership with not only me as a young fella before I met Sandra, but you may or may not know this, but you have been. You were one of our two sending churches when we left New Zealand about 25 years ago, and we continue to be incredibly blessed by your financial support, but equally importantly, your prayer support for our ministry. And it's just, it's a rare thing, and it's a beautiful thing, and I feel incredibly privileged for you guys to have stuck with us. A mate of mine, we had a meeting in town, and we're driving up to this meeting, and he says, "Now remember, Chris, you only have one chance at making a good first impression." But I'm sure that like every rules, there are some exceptions. So maybe let's just hope that today goes well. I'm wanting to say a number of things about the relationship between. We're in a series on growth, is that right? So it's spring, so we're on a series on growth. It may be that I confused Chris's email from this church with another email from the other church, but I actually have come to the right church on the right day. I did once turn up to the right church on the wrong day, and then I turned up to a church at the wrong time. I thought 11:30 is a very strange time to be having a service, but I walked in just after the sermon, so that was bad. But I mean, we're in a series on growth, and the theme of today is the role of partnership in growth. The role of partnership in growth. And we've had two short readings from that wonderful book of the Acts of the Apostles. These ordinary folks, these ordinary men and women who God used in the first century. These stories have so much to tell us about how God uses us in the 21st century. But this passage, I chose this passage for a number of reasons that will be clear by the end of it. More than any other, arguably over the last few years, more than any other person in the New Testament, I have been most profoundly impacted by the snapshots of this person, Barnabas. More than any other person over the last few years, I have been impacted by the example of this person called Barnabas. So I want to do three things. I want to briefly, and who's, it looks like it's a jot, dot, can you run your finger under your throat if I'm over time, or maybe put a gun to your head or wave your hands. I'm wanting to make just some general comments about partnership. And then I'm wanting to share some specific stories about partnership. And then I'm wanting to challenge you that with the idea that partnership is essential for growth. So just some general comments. Okay, so the passages that we've read are about this guy called Barnabas going out of his way to go and grab this bloke called Paul. And this picture of God working in twos, calling people to work together, is a very, very common theme in the scriptures. Some of you are New Testament folks who don't read the Old, and you're missing out if you're one of those people. So there's dozens and dozens of examples of ways that God calls people to partner together in the work that he has given them to do, called them to do. For example, Moses and Aaron, the guy that couldn't speak, told to partner with the person that could. Jesus called disciples. And the disciples were 12, because this is part of what it means to be forming the new Israel. 12 tribes of Israel, 12 disciples. And there was a time in the scriptures around Matthew 9 when Jesus, he sends out the 12. And just as the animals went into the ark two by two, these people were sent out two by two. We're told a number of things about the disciples, and these include that included in the 12 was a tax collector and a zealot. And I kind of like to think that Jesus might have invited the ultra-right end of the Axe Party to go off, and I know that Tim's here, so with the activist edge of the Green Party. Isn't it great to hang out with people who are not like you? One of the things I noticed when I came back to New Zealand is the way that, you know, left people with progressive politics don't have anything to do with conservatives, how few spaces there are for people from a Polynesian background, Pacifica background, an Asian background, a Māori background to hang out with us pale Anglos. You know, there's this thing that's been happening in the world where we are, the tide is sending us in a specific direction where we don't hang out, we don't have contact with, we don't understand, we don't appreciate people who are different from us. And if what I've described reflects your life now or where you've been in the recent past or where you sense yourself going into the future, I want to challenge you that that is not the way of God. God always has, always does, always will bring different people together to work to impact the world that he has begun to save, where the kingdom of God is coming. So those are some general comments about the partnership, the importance of partnership. God always wants to work with a people. And there are a number of bumper stickers that I have. I continue to travel to Southeast Asia for a month, three times a year, and I'm getting grayer. I get lots of people for reasons I don't really understand asking me for advice, and they ask me all sorts of advice, and I find myself saying to often people will come to me and they'll say, you know, where should I work and who should I work for? And you know, one of the things that I love to say to these people is this: you work with people who are already got lots of people that they are working with. You know, do not work with someone who is always working alone. Work with someone who surrounds himself with people. Surrounds himself with people who end up by being better than them. Who end up by being, and you, those of you who are academics, you know the really, really good scholars. Good scholars are the people, all of their students are far better than them, because they are not. So these are general comments, but the story, the snapshot of the first decades of the kingdom of God coming after the resurrection of Christ, after the falling of the Holy Spirit, on this disparate, really, really diverse bunch of people, we are seeing this beautiful story of this guy called Barnabas. He's from Cyprus. He's not from Judea. He's a Greek-speaking Jew. He's a diaspora Jew. He's from Cyprus. And he appears on the pages of the New Testament as a man, a good man, full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And he is a safe pair of hands. And he's got this enormous generosity. So when Paul, the wild man, wants to come to Jerusalem, he claims he's a believer, he wants to come to Jerusalem, none of the believers want him to come. They won't let him find out where they are, because they're not convinced that he has actually been profoundly transformed by his encounter with the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. But what did Barnabas do? Barnabas went and he grabbed Paul and he convinced the disciples that this guy was kosher. This guy, you don't need to be afraid of him. And whenever we see Barnabas, he's always going out of his way to involve others. The name Barnabas means son of encouragement, but there's far more to Barnabas, who personifies, for me, a masterclass in partnership. He is a co-opter. He's an introducer. He is someone who is always inviting and involving others. But the most important part about this person, Barnabas, is this. On the pages of the New Testament, Barnabas disappears. And he leaves a legacy, not in the form of a plaque on the back of a pew or a statue in the centre of some place in Crete or a grave where he was buried. I don't know what the church fathers say about that. He leaves a far more important legacy. And the legacy is in the form of flesh and blood. He wasn't interested in bricks and mortar. His legacy is in the form of two people in particular, the person of Paul, who he was willing to meet when no one else was, who was willing to take him to be introduced to the disciples, who invited Paul to come to Antioch. God is doing a new thing in the world. There's a new thing that God is doing in the world. People who have encountered, Greek-speaking Jews who encountered Jesus in Jerusalem, they have gone back up to Antioch, and all the way from the road between Jerusalem and Antioch, they have been telling the story of who Jesus is and that he has risen from the dead and the kingdom of God is coming. The Holy Spirit has been given to all his people. And they not only told this story to fellow Jews, but also to Gentiles. When they heard about this, people like James and Peter in Jerusalem, they were absolutely flipping out. Can God do that? You know, we've worked in the Muslim world for many, many years, and I'm going to tell you a few stories soon. You would be amazed at the ways that God is working in the Muslim world, and in ways that I'm not going to be writing and on a Facebook post and plastering over the internet with my big ugly face on it, or Sandra's ugly face, beautiful face on it. Sorry, Sandra. God's at work in the world. God's at work in the world in remarkable ways. But, you know, Barnabas, when he heard about what was going on, Barnabas was the safe pair of hands that the people like Peter and James, they trusted, you know. They were willing to send Barnabas, find out what's going on. These Gentiles are following Jesus, but they haven't become Jews. That's not what we do. That's not our tikanga. Go and find out what's going on. When Barnabas goes up all the way to Antioch, you look at a map. Where is Antioch in relation to Tarshish? It's just over the hill. So when Barnabas goes there, Barnabas doesn't say, okay, lockdown, let's lock this thing down, let's get a website, let's get some merch organised, let's get some bumper stickers, let's get a banner up, International Barnabas Ministries. What did Barnabas do? The first thing he did was what we're told. He went over to Tarshish and he got Paul. And then, you know, later on, we know that Barnabas, you know, not only invited Paul and involved Paul and championed Paul, but he also championed his cousin, John Mark. And he championed Paul despite him really not knowing him from a bar of soap. But he championed his cousin who he knew very, very well. And this picture of partnership between Paul and Barnabas is also what we know about what Barnabas did for Mark. But Barnabas, you see, his legacy is in flesh and blood. His cousin Barnabas, his cousin John Mark, he wrote the first authorized biography of Jesus. And this other bloke that Barnabas partnered with for many, many years before they had a bit of a falling out, wrote half the New Testament. What a beautiful story. And all of that stuff, quite frankly, we don't know, but I want to suggest that it's possible that, you know, if people had not realized the centrality of partnership to growth, the first few decades of the Jesus movement would have been very different. This is a bit speculative. Partnership is not a fairy tale. Partnership may be central to growth, but, you know, you and I, as Jesus people, we believe in miracles. Is that right? Do we believe in miracles? Do we believe that God is at work in the world? Is that right? That's good. Okay. Do you believe in fairy tales? Does anyone here believe in fairy tales? Good. So the other reading was important to include because this is a picture of two godly men that God had richly blessed having a falling out. We believe in grace. We believe in forgiveness. We believe in the kingdom of God. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do not do that as well as believe in fairy tales. Do not be surprised when the people that God has called us to partner with, in order for us to see things happen, we may decide, I think we've had a good season, and I think, you know, you should take Silas and Timothy and go in that direction, and I'll take Cuzzy John Mark. So, you know, we should be believing in miracles. We should be believing in all of that stuff. But growth is not possible without partnership. But partnership also can be sometimes exhilarating, but other times painful. I want to just share some very, very quick stories about the ways in the last few, 5 years, a few years before the pandemic, but since the pandemic, the ways that God has been blessing a number of partnerships that he's led us to be involved in. There is no growth without partnership, because God blesses partnership and vulnerability in ways that I have never seen him bless power. God blesses people who embrace simplicity and who appreciate the importance of service in ways that my experience has been that he doesn't bless people who leverage power and who are fixated on funding. So the partnership, the story of partnership that I really want to, there are so many stories that I'd love to share with you. But I want to share with you, I realise that both Sandra and I realise that we have a lot of work to do on lifting our game in terms of how we communicate with our supporters, including sending churches like you. So we're looking for the opportunity to get down more and to share a lot more stories. But for the last roughly 10 years, the team in South Tyneside that I've been involved with for many years, that Sandra and I lived there for 10 years, and after we had to send our kids to a school in Chiang Mai, I continued to travel to be close to and have led the team on a number of occasions. We've been partnering with a group of believers from a big Muslim majority country in Southeast Asia. And that's Indonesia. And God's been at work in Indonesia over the last few decades. And there are a large number of people from a Muslim background who have believed, have been transformed, and they have been burdened with the responsibility of beginning to partner with people elsewhere in Southeast Asia. And it has been our enormous privilege because of my work in universities. I get to travel a lot and I get to meet many Muslim leaders. And these people work very intentionally in universities all throughout Southeast Asia. And these people began to visit us occasionally over the last 10 years. And every time they come, I would introduce them to the Muslim leaders that I've been working with in the ministry that you have been financially supporting and praying for. And, you know, for years and years we were working away, doing the best, doing what we were told, but not seeing the fruit that we wanted. And we began to see some amazing things happen when we began to partner with other people in a way that rejects control, that is willing to kind of, just, you know, Moses, so grateful for his eloquent Aaron. And I have all these networks in the country, and these people have been able to begin to get involved. And up until the point where before the pandemic they had made the decision, we are wanting to send some people to come and work in South Thailand with you. And that was before the pandemic, and we know what happened then. And as soon as the pandemic was over, they had two couples, late 20s, early 30s, told by their leaders that they have been discipled under, you are to go and you're going to partner with not only the Lord himself, but also with Chris and Sandra's network. And we are seeing remarkable things happen. One of the leaders is there's no problem with this being recorded. One of the leaders is an ex-radical, a nasty man who was profoundly converted in ways that resemble Paul. And now he's the main teaching, preaching ustad, religious leader. And right now, he is on yet another of his preaching trips to South Thailand. And God led me to do this research project about 10 years ago I started, over 10 years ago now. And a remarkable story about how God led me to do specific projects and places. And I've got to meet all of these Muslim leaders. The first time these people visited, I took them to meet these Muslim leaders who are searching for God. And, yeah, we're seeing some remarkable things happen. And the most important thing about Barnabas and about Barnabas's model of partnership is that it wasn't that Barnabas, you know, was a safe pair of hands. It wasn't that he was particularly encouraging. It wasn't that he was always inviting and involving others. He wasn't the big man. He was into flesh and blood. He wasn't into bricks and mortar. He didn't insist that he had his name on anything. The most important legacy of partnership, if we are going to be in the Barnabas's masterclass on partnership that leads to growth, is this. If you are a Barnabas, your job is to disappear. Your job is to disappear. When you start off, you are looking for the exit. I'm going to be here. I'm going to impact as much flesh and blood, as many hands and hearts and heads and feet. And then my job, because God is the star of the show, not me, my job is to just get out of the way. And it is just a privilege to see all these people that we've relocated, been involved in relocated from Indonesia, to be on their feet. They've, over the 1 year hump, some of them are coming up to 2 years. They've had ups and downs. Two of the guys, both have lost their father, one in their first year on the ground, the second on their second. This is a very, very difficult thing for a young Asian man to lose, to not be around when his father passed. But these guys, they're doing really well. And it's because we have worked out the importance of working with others. So more is more. People say that more, less is more. No, that's not right. No, less is not more. More is more. But we partner with people not just because we need more people to be involved. Now, there are some of you who are lacking meaning and purpose. There are some of you that have fallen out of love, not with your wife, not with the father of your children, but you've fallen out of love with Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. And you're looking for purpose. Some of you are young, and this has already happened to you. Some of you are older, and it's already happened to you. Some of you are retired, and you are lacking purpose. I want to say, go and partner with God's people to go and serve the poor and to meet the needs of the least, the lost, the lonely. But we partnership is important to growth because we need more people. But God, as I said before, God blesses people who work together, who reject power, who, you know, eviscerate ego, who are always about the other. God blesses that kind of Jesus-centered, God-empowered, Holy Spirit-inspired ministry. And my prayer for you is that as you reflect over the next few weeks on what you all need to be doing in order to grow, that you really, really remember the importance of partnering with others in the cause of the kingdom. And I've gone on over my time. If you are interested in partnering with us, so I'm meant to be a missionary, not a mercenary. But if you are interested in partnering with us, there's brochures there. We'd love you to put yourself on at least the mailing list so that we can communicate with each other. And I'd like us to pray together. Should we pray together? Let's stand up. Could we stand and pray? Could we do that? Lord, we lift up our hands. And we look at our hands, Lord, and we ask you to guide us about whose hand we join in partnering with. Lord, you are the star of the show. We thank you that just as the animals went into the ark 2 by 2, you sent people out 2 by 2. We thank you for the amazing story, not the fairy tale, with the amazing story of Barnabas and Paul working together hand in hand. But Lord, right here, right now, we ask that you begin guiding us about how we can really prioritize partnership as we really take this issue of growth seriously. Lord, we don't want to grow old together. We want to grow together. And we ask you to guide us as we join hands with others. In the name of Jesus, amen.